Welcome to my testimony. And today, wow, holiday.
It's gonna be funny.
Yes, holiday season. And our special holiday guest is no other than Addy. Addy, is it Addy? You know what, Addy? Tell us your real name. Yeah, what's your full name, Addy?
Oh, so we're going to start with letting the whole universe know my government? You know, typically, I just don't go around giving around my government. But it becomes a problem when the brethren want to bless you with a check. They get out to Addy. And you have to go and tell them, actually, it's Adela.
Wow.
What an intro.
And because I'm a patient man,
you know what?
It's actually paid for me.
We'll stick with Addy. So, welcome to my testimony, Addy.
I'm so excited. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a fan.
So before we get into my testimony, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to hear testimonies. Thank you so much for Addy, and we thank you for her testimony. And we pray as she shares with us today that your Holy Spirit will just be a part of her and all of us. And everyone who are in the hearing of her voice will be blessed. And we all will be nurtured, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, Miss Addy, so give us a little background about you, where you were born.
Awesome. I think I should start by saying the thoughts and comments and opinions expressed on this episode of my testimony are those of Addy Lubin, not of Colin or Don Williams, Plantation SDA Church, the Florida Conference, the General Conference, North American Division of Seventh-day
Adventists. Oh my goodness, there's a disclaimer.
Out of the way. So my name is Addy. I was born on a warm spring day, and we won't talk about the year. I'm Haitian American, so both of my parents are Haitian, but I was actually born right here in the United States. So I have a dynamic culture. I also grew up in a predominantly, from school and high school, Jamaican. Area. So I love being from Miami. So spiritually, my mom is actually Catholic. And my dad, he mostly worked nights and stuff like that. So our mom really kind of took the direction for our spiritual development. So I was Catholic until I was about 13, let's call it 12 or 13 years old. And then I had an experience. And you know, I'm gonna just say how I went. So I grew up singing in a church, you know, being in church every Sunday. And the Catholic Church is super organized in that you're there for an hour, you're in and out. It's very regimented in the way that the program runs. So the priest on this day actually gave a very moving, I guess sermon would be the equivalent of it. And there was a man who was super moved by it. And so he went to the altar and he just laid at the altar and he was crying. And he was crying. And I want to say he might have been there, I don't know, 60 seconds, 90 seconds. It wasn't anything too unreasonable. And quickly someone, an usher, came and just kind of got him out of the way, but not in a way that it was like kind of we have to keep the program going. Guys, forgive my earbuds. And it felt very, in that moment, you know, I don't know all the back workings as far as time and stuff like that, but it felt very, very cold. It felt like he was having a moment with God that ultimately was interrupted. And it just didn't sit right in my spirit. And from that day forward, I decided I'm no longer Catholic. And so at that point, you know, I was old enough to make some decisions. And I met a very good friend in middle school who attended a Baptist church. And she was like, come on, go to church with me. And I was like, I don't know. I know about this church thing. I had a, you know, rough experience. I grew up in church. And, you know, I don't know. She was like, girl, and we're 13, 14, y'all. She was like, the boys are so cute. I was like, what time? Sunday? What time? What you said? 11, right. 11 o'clock?
Right.
Okay, I'll be there. Little did I know that everything was working for my good. And so I ended up there, and I could say that's where I had my first real experience, conversion experience, where I was like, yes, I want to do this Jesus thing. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I want to be with Lord. And I was in church, and fortunately, that church had a very strong youth ministry. So there were a lot of things to do to keep me active. I sang in choir, you know what I'm saying? I was doing church, you know what I'm saying? I was on the youth council. We were, our choir was opening for Kirk Franklin. Like, we were legit. Oh, wow. I was alto section leader. I was the Bible club leader at my high school. So everyone knew I was that girl. You know what I'm saying? That girl, you couldn't really get her. But I still like was a sports editor. So I hung out with the jocks. So it was awesome to be able, every Wednesday, we would be around the pole at my school, holding hands, praying for the school, praying for the kids, you know, before it became so taboo.
Yeah,
And so now fast forward and I get into college and, you know, I never felt, I always felt like my relationship with God was my relationship with God forged through life. Like, yes, I grew up religious, but I didn't really have a tie to a church like that. Once I graduated high school, I was in different places. I was married, you know, by 23. So then I was at my husband's church. So I've been Baptist, non-denominational Christian, apostolic, Catholic, and I can go back to any one of my churches or denominations, and I have a great relationship with my pastors. It wasn't anything bad that happened or, you know, scandal while I left the church. It was just, I may have moved, I may have graduated, et cetera, et cetera. So now fast forward to like 2011, I'm doing Jesus, I'm doing my thing, I'm, you know, living my life, et cetera. And I meet a young man who actually was courting me, you know, at the time. And so we get to the place in the conversation about religion and church and things like that. And he goes, so why do you go to church on Sunday? And I was like, what kind of question is that? Right. I was like, doesn't everybody go to church on Sunday?
Right.
People that don't go to church on Sunday. I was like, because I always go to church on Sunday. And I was like, at that point, he was like one of the first people, or so I thought, that I had met that was in Venice. I was like, why do you go to church on Saturday? He was like, because it's the fourth commandment. And I was like, what? Mind you, I've grown up in church. And somehow, I can't say I never read the Ten Commandments. I never read the fourth one. But it's super easy to gloss over. Yeah. And this is no knock on any of my churches or any of my pastors or anything like that. But there are just certain things that are different in certain denominations. And the Adventist Church is extremely good about creating this infrastructure about getting into the Bible for yourself. Like, they don't just say from the pulpit, make sure to read your Bible. Like, there's an app, and there's a quarterly, and there's school, and there's Bible bowls. There's all of this real, like, we are good at the word.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the truth. It was good, deep knowledge from Genesis to Revelation. Other churches you can go to, and you might only hear the New Testament. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And there's so much in the Bible. It's not unrealistic that you can, and I'm not saying it was intentional or malicious, just conveniently avoid the topic of the fourth commandment. You're not hating on it. Just so many other things you could talk about. And you know, Christmas has a specific message, so does Easter, you know, so you know, resurrection. So I can't say that there are people going, you know what, I'm going to intentionally try to divert you from keeping the Sabbath. There are just so many other things that you can tackle. So I go, so we flipped there, and okay, there it is in black and white. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. It's sitting smack dab in the middle with the word remember in front of it. Now, all of the other commandments start with, except for honor, whether if I start with thou or thou shalt not. I just wouldn't say remember as if there would be an intentional effort to get people to forget. I promise you, the next weekend, I was at Bethany, Seventh-day Adventist Church in Miami. And I've never looked back. Like, he showed me the stuff from Constantine and all the, because there's a lot of biblical evidence for Sabbath keeping that I, quite honestly, am not yet well-versed in. So anybody that wants to come for me after this, who want to go toe to toe about keeping the Sabbath or not keeping the Sabbath, all I need you to be able to tell me is that the other nine don't hold. Tell me the other nine don't hold, and I will buy into this idea that maybe somehow, I don't know, what this is what I was saying, I've heard Jesus nailed to the cross. I don't, I haven't investigated that scripture. But I just feel like that was, God is super intentional. He's very specific. He's super detailed. He's able to bring Saturn and Jupiter into conjunction once every 800 years, I'm pretty sure mm-hmm. when he said, remember, he meant, he could have just said, thou shalt keep the Sabbath.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He said, remember.
Yeah.
Said, remember. And so look at God. Now, mind you, this is Addie growing up in Sunday church. Like, I'm live. I'm big. At one point, I was speaking in tongues at all. Okay? Do my dance up and down. I miss Sunday. Mm. So, again, no knock on any type of Adventist church, but I just know that God knows how he made me in my mother's womb, that if the first experience I would have had would not, if this music lover and singer would have involved no drums, no kind of progressive-ish music. I love my hymns, but it had to be straight hymn from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And just like not, you know what I'm saying, the style of worship that I was even remotely used to.
Right.
This Sabbath thing might have been a challenge. Okay. I'd have been like, yeah, this is good and all, but I'm going to see, can I do this on Sunday? Like I'd have been trying to listen. I'd have been right there too, trying to find all the reasons.
Right.
But Bethany, like I literally walked out. I was like, oh, this is just like Sunday church. Except y'all took all the Sunday songs out of the hymn. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you know, and shouts out to Pastor Barry Bonner, you know, saying my first pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they had a hole in the on the praise team. In the outro section, there wasn't no pressure. Like, it was all love. It was like, come, chill, and we potlucky and I'm eating. Like, it was great, mm-hmm. right? And so they had a hole in the praise team, and I started singing on the praise team. And I sang on the praise team for a year.
Okay.
I sang every week for a year. I had lunch with the musicians. Like, that was my family. Those are my people. Right. You know, every week,
right.
You know, my daughter's going there, like, you know, we're building these relationships. And now they're like, okay, Addie, you know, and me and the time where you're getting, you know, deeper into our relationship, we're studying the word together, we're going through this, but I'm not realizing that he's actually preparing me for baptism.
Right.
As he's indoctrinating me through, like, you know what I'm saying? Because the difference I find between Adventism and other denominations, and I got a resume to prove it, is that, like, I could go to any Sunday church on Sunday and then my life could look different or the same from people around me, but those differences are not tied to the churches that we go to.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When you become Adventist, it is a lifestyle.
Right.
That you're signing up for. I mean, I'm just like, if you're doing it the way it starts with keeping the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
Among all of the other biblical truths that we have found a way to, hey, one shout out to Auntie Ellen, applicable, you know, apply to real life.
Mm-hmm.
That's Ellen G. White for those who don't know. So now it's like, okay, do you want to get baptized? I'm like, well, I'm invested in this church. This is my family. But at this point, I'm Catholic, so I was baptized as a baby. Mm-hmm. I got baptized when I joined New Way. You know what I'm saying? When I was 13. Like, how many times I got to get in this pool? At this point, like, I've been singing for a year. With like, really? Like, I'm feeling some kind of way. So now it's March 2011. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to get baptized. Okay. So now I'm in my white, I'm going to get baptized, and I have to say this because I think it's integral for us as Adventists, as we are sharing the Adventist truth. So just to back up, even before I got baptized, I can't, for whatever, how do I say this, without lying on live YouTube, the person that brought me into Adventism, the only reason that he was brought into my life was to give me that truth.
Mm. Okay.
The other 3 years and some change was not in his will, right?
Mm.
And I know that now, but I, regardless of how I may feel when I'm feeling fleshy in my feelings or whatever have you, I can never hate him or have any type of real, because he was the only person in my entire life who just asked me flat out, why do you go to church on Sunday? Not in a judgmental way. It's like, are you aware that the fourth commandment says, and I quite honestly just wasn't, or it wasn't top of mind enough for me to consider the day of the week that, you know, I went to church.
Okay.
And so now as I'm looking back now, so now I'm at Adventist. So now, you know, because I'm public, I'm on social media, I'm posting and I'm finding that I got sorority sisters that were Adventist.
Mm.
I dated this guy not once, but twice.
Wow.
played at my church. And I thought when he was playing at my church that he was worshiping, he had already worshiped the day before.
Oh, wow.
and nobody ever said, I had, you know, as part of the sorority, I was one of the roles as like vice president as membership intake coordinator. I brought in a class and I never got the memo. It was just like, I can't do this on Friday night. And I never said why. And she never told me. And she just kind of assumed that I knew why. And for all I knew, y'all were just like Jehovah's Witnesses. We're just like Jehovah's Witnesses. Anything outside of the traditional mainstream Protestant religions that I had been exposed to were probably close to Jehovah's Witnesses. So, and which was the furthest thing from the truth. And these are people that I had intimate relationships in various aspects, you know, through college, through work and stuff like that. And it just assumed that I was a Sabbath rejecter when in fact I was neutral on the matter.
So let me ask you, Addy, you have now seen that you had all these people in your past that were events and they never said to you, did you see the fourth commandment? What's your reaction to that situation?
Oh, I was mad. Oh, I was heated. Like, I ain't even going front. I was heated. Like, somebody posted, I think I did a check-in from Bethany, and one of my sisters was like, oh, you're at Venice? She was like, me too. I was like, oh, really? Like, really? Oh, yeah, I grew up at such and such church.
Wow.
Why you ain't saying nothing?
Wow.
Like, we done did community service activities and this, that, and the third together and show this, that, and taught classes, and you didn't say anything. I was highly upset because all I wanted to do was be right with Jesus and make it heaven. So y'all gonna let me miss heaven because y'all wasn't gonna save me.
Right. But Addy, didn't you just find out recently that your dad had connection with Adventist?
Hold up. She's getting there.
We're going a little bit. Okay.
No, let's get to it. Cause you know, we could do this for 2.5 hours. I know. As long as my testimony is history. So yes. So I get baptized and I do my thing. And so it was okay. So fast forward. My dad, I'm his second phase of life. Like me and his brother are my second phase of life. I knew he was married before. I knew he had two sons. I knew they were much older than me. I didn't really have a relationship with them. I didn't know what they subscribed to. It was just me and my brother in the house here in the States. And so when my younger brother was murdered, my half brothers came to the house obviously to be with the family for a long time. And that's when I found out that they were Adventists. So I have two half brothers that are Adventists.
Wow.
And born and raised in the Adventist church, they are elders, and my sister-in-law is Sabbath school superintendent, like Adventist.
Wow.
And we all sing, and we're singing in the house during all this morning, and we're waking up in the morning, and we're singing hymns, and we're harmonizing, and these are my brothers. And so, but my dad and I love my dad. My dad loves me, but he's a traditional Caribbean man. I didn't know so much about what I knew of him is what I experienced growing up in our in our home. Right. I never really asked him questions about his previous life.
Right.
And so now I find out that I have two half brothers. And so we commit, one lives in Canada, one lives in New York. So we commit to stay in touch and stuff like that. Right. So now fast forward, I end up at Plantation, which mind you is 26 miles from my home. And there are a lot of Adventist churches between where I started at in Miami and Plantation. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing in terms of family is that the recently installed music director of music called Claude Tulsi and his two brothers that also operate in leadership roles in the ministry are my half cousins.
Oh wow.
So they my half brothers are their first cousins and my brother Leslie is actually Claude's godfather.
Oh wow.
So like when Leslie came here, stayed at our house, he's like, I'm here for a wedding. He was here for Claude's wedding. I had no idea who Claude was.
Okay.
Until I got to the Plantation. So now, this little bit of, so now that my dad is finally retired at 80 years old when COVID started, we're spending a lot more time together and we're talking and the Holy Spirit told me, put Sabbath school on, French, or put something on YouTube that's French and SDA. So that's what I literally just Googled YouTube French SDA. And the first thing that I found, I put on. I speak so little, nothing French, and I didn't even realize it was Sabbath school until like 45 minutes in. My dad is sitting there engaged.
Okay.
Now you're talking about somebody who watches TV Land and like old Westerns. Like that's pretty much the extent of what he watches. And he listens to like AM radio. He's sitting there, he's engaged. So much so that he asked me a question. Now to go backwards, when I was a new Adventist around 3 years old or something like that, I was at home with my dad and I was doing something that I shouldn't have been doing on the Sabbath, TV 100. But it wasn't one of those obvious things. Like until you get into the culture, there are certain things that people don't even realize that actually you shouldn't be doing on the Sabbath. But until you've been the Sabbath keeper for a little while, it's not one of the obvious things. There are other things that probably need to manage as a new Sabbath keeper for you. And I can't even remember what it was. But I remember my reaction in that. My dad goes, you shouldn't be doing on that Sabbath. And I looked at him like, how do you know? And my dad is not a bad person. He's a very good moral person, doesn't drink, do anything like that. But I've never seen him with the Bible or going to church or anything like that. And so when I found out that my half-brothers were at Venice, I assumed that similar to the way that my mother raised as Catholic and my dad just was neutral on the matter, that their mother must have been a Venice.
Right.
So that's what I charged that to. Right. So now, as we are now over the next these couple of weeks during COVID, watching more Sabbath School together, he's singing songs that are obvious French hymns that must be old school hymns and here and there. And I'm like, oh, so that's where my singing ability comes from. Because my mom can't hold a note. God bless her. She's a beautiful woman and can cook behind her, but she can't hold a note. As much as she try. Her worship be for real. But, you know, it's been interesting on this discovery because literally 4 weeks ago, I just got so tired of it that I was like, I asked my older half-brother, I was like, yo, ask your mom what's really good. how was my dad, what's really good? Like, I can't ask him directly because he may shut down and I'm trying to pull the stuff out of him, but I'm impatient.
Right.
And he goes, Addie, my mom said that our dad was a fervent church goer.
Wow.
When he was in Haiti.
Wow.
Fervent. And he also grew up singing in the youth choir.
Oh.
Wow.
So I want to use this opportunity to ask the internet universe and fandoms of my testimony to pray for my father, because the first thing that came in my spirit was hurt. You know, because sometimes through misunderstandings and miscommunications and just mishandling, we were all flawed individuals in need of grace.
Right.
People get hurt in church.
Right.
And sometimes they never come back.
Right.
So I wonder what happened 40 years ago.
Yeah.
40 years ago.
Right.
So. Wow. So that's the journey I'm at now. So when I say I was born to be, I used to joke like, it's obviously I was born to be a Venice, even though it took me like 10 years to get here.
Right.
Knowing my father was a fervent churchgoer, I was born to be in this faith. And I don't knock first day worshipers. I'm not here to try to convert the whole world to keep the Sabbath, but for me, it was just so simple. It seemed so much more difficult to try to not. You know, to try to make this case. Yeah. Not because even when I was going to church on Sunday, I can't say that I was keeping a Sunday Sabbath.
Right.
I was going to church for a couple hours and I was going to the mall and I was watching football and I was, you know, doing all that. I wasn't keeping a 24-hour period.
Right.
Holy, when I think about all the things that God is and what he does for me, he's asking for 1/7 of my week.
Right.
Like he's asking for, he as a God of the universe that puts the breath in my lungs to be like, you know what, 50% of your week need to be all about right here. Where he's asking for 1/7 and it does more for me because I'll burn the candle at both ends if you let me. You know, I'll burn the candle. That it's okay to rest and to recharge. And I found some of my most amazing experiences on days where I could just keep this happening. I'd be like, you know what, I'm not going to consume everything that I consume. I'm literally going to just. Just chill.
Right.
I'm gonna chill and I'm gonna eat and I'm gonna think about the good things of God and I'm gonna worship and I'm gonna watch some sermons, I'm gonna sing some songs and you know what I'm saying, I'm gonna hang out with my people, my brethren, you know what I'm saying, before COVID. Now I'm gonna jump on the Zoom, you know what I'm saying, and play Bible Taboo. I'm gonna binge watch a couple episodes of My Testimony if I miss a couple weeks. Chill. And that's totally okay. And in fact, it's a commandment.
Yes.
Like that's why I can't get around. Like I just don't. And I just figured out the other day that I had never read the book of Philemon. So obviously I got some work to do when it comes to getting my Bible study on.
Right.
Yeah. But I haven't encountered anything that literally says, hey, stop keeping the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that there's a scripture about moons and Sabbaths and stuff like that. But for me, when I read that, what that says, like, don't prioritize that over the mission.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus didn't come with two. He's like, Jesus came with two new commandments. No, that was a summary. If you look at the first half, it's about loving God. Yeah. And the second half is about loving your neighbor. So of differing opinions of what I got, as far as those are the ones I'm most familiar with. And that I got a chance to research. And it's just like, I mean, I don't see anything. And I feel like if he was going to undo a commandment, like he wouldn't hide it. Like it wouldn't have to be something I had to be like digging for. Like it would be probably really clear. Like Jesus at some point in that mystery, like, and by the way, number 4, we Gucci, don't worry about it. You know, I really feel like that would have came through a lot more clearly But instead, I feel like he even kept it. Like, he was nailed to the cross on the Friday. We all agree on that. Whether we go to church on Saturday or Sunday, we all agree that he died on Friday and he rose on Sunday. What was the holdup? Could have been out Saturday night.
But you know, Addie, the fourth commandment is the commandment that that glues those two commandments together. The love for God and the love for man. That's the one in the middle that brings those together.
See how you pouring into me?
Right.
As I'm trying to share my testimony. This is what people say, Addie, why you claim newly baptized after almost 10 years?
Newly baptized,
sometimes barely in Venice, but you know, like, I feel like we are all, regardless of denominations, in a place where we can all agree that we're at the end. We're really nearing the end of human history. And so I think this is where our church really has to step up, because, you know, every church kind of has their thing, their niche. You know, a lot of times it's in their name, like First Apostolic Deliverance Church of God in Christ. Yeah. I know what you guys do. People might not understand. They understand Seventh Day and that we observe the Seventh Day, but they might not understand that Advent part. And that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? This time of like not telling people you're Adventist and not asking people if they kept the fourth commandment and not getting them indoctrinated away so that they can understand what is going on around them in the world from a biblical standpoint. It's time out for that. Like, we got to stand up. We have like, hey, here we are. Hashtag SDA. Hashtag Advent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it is what it is. And the choice is yours. I could have just easily said no. And I don't try to fight people. I'm not even at a place where God has me and what I'm doing and what I'm learning and stuff like that. Like, I'm honestly not interested in getting into any type of debate with a first day worshiper that wants to stay a first day worshiper.
Right.
I'm not here to convince you.
Exactly.
However, if you're curious about why me as a lifelong 30, I ain't gonna tell my age, at least a couple decades first day worshiper.
Right.
She decided to make a change. At that point, I'm grown. I'm rooted in my life of how I run. I clean on Saturday. What you mean? I clean my house on Saturday. What you mean? I consider that work. You know what I'm saying? So that I would make that shift, you know what I'm saying, my entire lifestyle, what compelled me to do that, then I'm happy to share my experience. Right. But for me, it was literally as simple as it is the fourth commandment.
Amen.
Full stop.
Amen.
Period.
Amen. Amen.
So what do you think your advice would be to those that you've known, gone to church with, that are curious at the fact, okay, we see Addie is just, she's going to this other church and they don't want to because they're so rooted in what they believe and their doctrines. What would you say to them? How would you encourage them just to study for themselves?
Well, I think that, like, at the end of the day, the word of God is very clear. Mm-hmm. And the everyday struggle is trying to live according to what God's statutes are, period. Mm-hmm. Our old sinful nature fights against that every day. That's what the battle's about. The word is very clear about what we should and shouldn't do. And then God also then reveals himself as you spend more time in the word. So I would encourage someone to, you can do a study on it. I have encountered some amazing online resources. Mm-hmm. But if you just ask God, like for me, I felt like I had a relationship with God. I prayed, I did my thing. You know, I would fast in the beginning of the year with everybody and stuff like, so God will confirm that, you know, and you will begin, if you start to look for it, you will begin to see these opportunities to validate or not. But again, until someone can show me, and I have not found it in my studies, proof that the other nine don't hold. My question would be, why wouldn't you keep the Sabbath if it's the fourth commandment?
Right.
What you holding on to Sunday so much for? And in my dreams and sometimes, what are my dreams? I have a good relationship. So I want to go back to my old pastors. And I think I will at some point and say, hey, listen, like, real talk. Like, we have a relationship. Tell me why you wouldn't, you know? And I the only thing I can think of is that we just want to hold on to it. Like, it would be such a radical shift from the way the entire world is wired.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You don't know how many times I done drove by Chick-fil-A on a Sunday, haven't forgot.
Right.
And they not open on a Sunday, right. And I get real. I'm like, it's not even the Sabbath. Like, No. I'm totally kidding. No shade to Chick-fil-A, but because of it, really, our entire world is wired around that. I can only think that's the only reason. But then, is that more important than what God said?
Yeah.
So how do you see God has led you through this whole journey to the point that you're at now? What is your conversation with God like?
It is, Lord, give me God encounters, because what I'm finding, which kind of saddens me, is that every other person that I meet has no idea. I don't want to say that they have no idea what Adventism is, but we have a brand that is very much leaning towards, if I say, hey, I'm at Venice, the first thing is, oh, you guys don't wear jewelry.
Right.
As I have my bling, but not because I want to be rebellious or I disagree. Like, that is one of those gray areas of conviction and things like, and I definitely wear a lot less jewelry than I've worn before. And I don't wear jewelry on the platform because I know about other people, but like, that's one thing. Or what's another one? Like, there are just some stereotypes, I think, because I think if people were to go to an Adventist church now in 2020, you don't eat pork. You don't eat pork or shellfish. And so it's the health message. I mean, before, like, you know, I still be looking like really crispy bacon, like but now my turkey bacon skills are on fleek. Like, you wouldn't even necessarily know the difference. My turkey bacon skills are on point. I just would like, you know, everybody to understand. It is doable. It doesn't, you just gotta be committed to it. And so I wasn't into the health message, and it's not that it's not important. It's actually like super important. If you went to the doctor, you were like, oh my gosh, I really don't feel good every time. And the doctor said, okay, I want you to take this, this, and this, and I want you to stop eating pork. Real talk. If somebody with an MD as part of your protocol said, you need to stop eating pork because they eat their own feces. And you're putting that into your system. Find another meat. None of us would hesitate.
Exactly.
To stop eating pork if we know it will make us feel better. So the health message is rooted in science. That's a whole other conversation. But like, we're no different than any other Christian. Like, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are certain areas, like I said, that are lifestyle that I feel like your Christianity should be a lifestyle. So I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate the conference structure and that my money is not going to someone who I'm hoping and praying that they do the right thing with it as they're flying around in their jet. No, I know that my pastor, you know what I'm saying, whether my church gets $1 million in tithes or whether my church gets $10 in tithes, they're there to preach the word because they're not motivated by money. Like, you know, there are certain things like that. I love Pathfinders. There are so many amazing things about the way that our church is structured. We just have to start telling people about it and not start with, start with something very simple. Like, do you know it's the fourth commandment? And I think that'll then kind of lead you and guide you and then live your life. Like, people, I didn't have to go around telling everybody I was Adventist. I had got baptized Adventist. Like, they just saw in my life, my posts, my things of that nature. And people ask, like, live your life. And then I pray every day for God encounters.
Right.
I'm like, Lord, give me, I don't care if it's the gas station attendant. Okay, give me an opportunity to be a reflection of your love that I receive every day, to where that person is motivated to be like, well, why do you even, let me tell you, listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have been dead, car wrapped around my pole when I had too much to drink. Like, I can't, my worship cannot, like, when people laugh at me, I think, well, not laugh, but I think, I know I laugh at me. I mean, I was like, people. Maybe other people laugh, but no, if you're laughing, you're laughing with me, because I will watch streams of me on the praise team and I'm super animated.
Right.
But it's because I know where I've been. I know how God chased me when I hated him and all I wanted to do was what I wanted to do.
Right.
And he lovingly chased me to just, I can't not go hard in the paint for him, period. And so, when you do that, when you focus on what God has done for you, when you focus on the grace that you receive, the mercy you receive every day, when it clearly says in the Bible that the wages of sin is death, and yet he sent his son. You think my only daughter, somebody said to me, oh, you know what, we're going to save this whole world of people that hate you. And your son has to be, your daughter has to be humiliated, spit on, beat, kill me? flesh of mine. Right. Listen, how y'all bet I ain't got. I'd have started from scratch. You know what? Can't even fool with the earthlings. But he loves us so much.
Yep.
He loves us so much. So, like, you know, you start with that, and like Jesus and the Word of God will lead you to the truth. If you're seeking God, He will reveal Himself to you. He will reveal Himself to you. He will have you at a church 29 miles away from your house. I could walk to Maranatha. SBA Church. Right. I could walk a little longer to Pisgah. You know, there are plenty of churches within walking distance, but the Spirit and the Lord had it such that I ended up there because this is my journey. This is my testimony.
Amen.
You know, like, I think the Sabbath is a beautiful thing. I hope everybody embraces it because it is a beautiful thing. It really is. It's changed my life. And, you know, like I said, I'm available at Addie Lubin on all the platforms.
Right.
You want to talk more offline. But
right.
But yeah, you know, anybody who tries to beat you over the head about it and make you feel condemned for not being a Sabbath keeper is not going about it the right way. Because when you deepen your relationship with God, you look forward. Listen, I know people that pop bottles, and I don't mean bottles, but they pop bottles when the Sabbath comes. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like,
they're excited. Should be excited.
Mm-hmm. You should be excited.
Yeah, of course. Amen.
So,
amen. 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 Yeah, wow. Addie, this is truly a testimony for me because I was born.
I know y'all gonna have me crying. This is how I know the presence of the Lord is like, because anytime the Spirit gets too thick up in here, I get to weeping. So praise God, praise God for His joy, through this platform and through the sharing. It's been a blessing to me. You know, it's been a privilege and an honor to be able to be on here with you guys and share this. So thank you.
Definitely. And as I was saying, you know, it's a testimony personally for me because there have been time in my life, born and raised in the church, where I'm ashamed of my Adventism, where I've hidden it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. Your kids, you know, it's not. You're spot on. You know what I'm saying? And listen, I'm not the most ardent Sabbath keeper. You know, every day I'm trying to get better and better at it. That one week is better than the other. But what I tell people is, like, you know, there's gonna be one you're gonna, you know, like, people should come and be like, keep this happening. I'll be like, listen, I know you feel it. I know personally that you feel it at number six. So don't come over here and beat me over the head with number four until you get this adultery thing worked out over there. You know, so it is a commandment like others, and it is a constant surrender to God.
Mm-hmm.
But that I get it, you know, even though I say I was mad at people, but I get it because it literally is counter to everything that, you know, we are institutionalized, like, especially in the West. This is institutionalized. This is not, it's in everything. And so, but like our Savior, right? Like, He came and challenged the status quo.
Yes.
And so I'm about that life. I'm gonna present the truth, and then I'm gonna pray for you, and I'm gonna let God do the rest, because sometimes we're called to just plant a seed. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we're called to till that ground. Sometimes we're called to just drop a little water and keep going. I think a lot of what people mistakenly do is they think that they're supposed to take somebody from not knowing Jesus all the way to being in the baptismal pool and serving in ministry. And maybe you just are in that person's life for a reason, for a season, to simply ask them, have you considered the fourth commandment?
Yeah. That's true. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Powerful, man.
Powerful. Mm. Yeah, Addie, thank you so much again.
I think that's my time. Oh, now you're trying to completely disconnect me. So you guys have my mailing address for the shirt, right? So I just want to make sure that
it's the holiday. You know, we got you on lock, man. We got you on lock.
Exactly. I like a small. Yes.
You're good to go, Addie. You're good to go.
Gotta go get my kicks, get my Vans, to rock my fit with my testimony shirt.
Oh boy.
What
are we gonna do with you?
Do without Addie?
I know, Addie.
You're going on love, man. Squeeze me in.
Want to let you know that myself and Dawn, we really appreciate you.
Yeah, we do.
And you've been there for us too when we had some difficult times. Yeah. And we just want to let you know that you are a testimony for us,
for
man.
Us.
And
we absolutely
really appreciate
amazing
you.
Testimony.
Okay, really appreciate. And I'm glad.
I just want to say hashtag Black love. Every hashtag relationship goals. Hashtag family goals. Like, you know, when I look around the church, and I see, you know what I'm saying, what I want my, you know what I'm saying, relationship to look like, I will take whatever God has in store.
Right.
But to see the way that you guys are connected, you work together in ministry, you support each other, you battle, you know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta battle. I just can't only imagine, because I know that a love that God put together is mm-hmm. going to always be challenged.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, right. to see, like, I can only imagine, but to see, like, just seeing y'all, like, you can tell real love from, you know, I can't anyway. I don't know about anybody else, but y'all look like y'all like being around each other.
Yeah. To God be the glory.
Yeah, exactly. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So
amen.
Thank you, you know what I'm saying, for giving me faith, you know, because you get to a place, especially as a divorcee, where you're like, man, you know what I'm saying, is it ever going to be for me? Like,
right.
And then you look, you're like, yeah. Look at the Williams. They're so cute.
Amen. Amen. Wow. All right. Thank you so much again. Yeah. And happy holidays. And of course, you're going
to
get
that to you.
You're going to get that shirt for your holidays. So don't worry about it.
Listen, I'm going live as soon as I get it. Listen, that's going to be my new profile. I'm not changing my profile pic. No pressure. Okay. I'm not updating my profile pic until I get my testimony shirt.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll keep that.
I love you guys. It's been great. Enjoy the rest of the
Sabbath. Thank you so much. All right. So Dawn is going to pray to close us out now. So. All right.
Amen.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this testimony. It's amazing how you lead us, even when we don't even know where you're going to lead us. And how you bring things to our minds that are so important and so integral in our life that have such changing properties.
Yes.
And I ask that you, Addie and her family, all the things that she's rebuilding, all the things that she's trying to find out more about, just open her mind, Lord, that she'll be able to understand the God encounters that she's looking for. Every opportunity, I ask God that you just continue to help her to be able to find them and to see them, so she sees you working in our life continually.
Yes.
Continue to bless us now as we go through this holiday season, as we go through the rest of our lives, that we will be truly connected with you, that we will be able to see you and share you with all those around us, so we can be ready to meet you, is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, Addie. So we'll We'll talk soon, okay? Take care. Happy holidays.
Yes, that was awesome. Thank you. Why did I put on makeup to begin with?
Okay. All right.
All right, bye.